Welcome back to The Deep Dive, where we take the fire hose of industry news, research, and technical documents and distill it into high-octane, actionable insight just for you. Today, we're strapping in for a deep look at the ultimate modern aviation paradox: the balance between blistering performance and, well, hard, cold operational practicality.
It's a fantastic dichotomy, isn't it? On one hand, the goal is to deliver a connectivity experience that is identical to what we have on the ground. Think, you know, seamless 4K streaming, zero lag video calls, and instant cloud access.
Right.
On the other hand, you have to engineer those systems to be lightweight, incredibly reliable, and crucially easy and quick to install. You have to make sure they don't consume the entire maintenance budget or, worse, ground the aircraft for weeks on end.
Exactly. And this isn't just a challenge for passengers anymore, is it? This massive shift impacts every operational system: onboard cockpit communications, real-time weather updates, predictive maintenance data streams. The evolution requires these really complex technical decisions involving the physics of orbits and frequency bands.
Oh, yeah. Ku-band, Ka-band, low Earth orbit, geostationary, air-to-ground, all of it.
And every single one of those choices has a direct and immediate impact on the P&L statement. We're talking specifically about fuel costs due to weight and drag and aircraft availability because of maintenance downtime.
So our mission today is custom-tailored to analyze how the industry giants are not just dealing with this complexity, but actively leveraging it. We are unpacking the distinct strategies used by Viasat and Gogo 2 major powerhouses in this space to blend that high technical performance with real-world practicality for installation and long-term upkeep.
And we'll be synthesizing key insights directly from the architects of these strategies: Karthik Barathon, who serves as the Director of Product Management for Aviation Terminals at Viasat,
and Chris Moore, the CEO over at Gogo.
So we're going to see two distinct high-stakes paths to solving the very same challenge.
That's right. Viasat focusing heavily on vertical integration and massive multi-orbit capacity. And then you have Gogo, which is focused on purpose-built hardware simplicity and leveraging strategic partnerships, especially for the private and military aviation sectors.
Okay, let's unpack this, and let's start right at the foundation where all the technical complexity lives: the evolving connectivity landscape itself, specifically orbits and bands.
For sure. Traditionally, the conversation really centered on frequency bands. For years, the industry standard moved from Ku-band, the original widely deployed system, to Ka-band.
Right, Ka-band was the big leap forward.
It was. It offered a huge jump in capacity and throughput, allowing for much denser user loads. For a long, long time, that was the primary technical decision point for airlines and operators.
But as you noted, that was yesterday's complexity. The current reality is far more intricate, demanding a much broader technological stack. It's no longer just about two frequency bands. It's about stacking entirely different orbital configurations and network types to achieve global high-quality service.
That is the crucial distinction. We begin with the legacy geostationary, or GEO, satellites. They sit very high above the equator, about 22,000 miles up, which means they appear, you know, fixed in the sky relative to the ground.
And that position is fantastic for providing wide coverage and massive, stable capacity, essential for mass passenger streaming.
Absolutely. But because of that immense distance the signal has to travel, they suffer from high latency. We're talking typically hundreds of milliseconds. This latency makes any kind of real-time, jitter-sensitive application like interactive gaming or synchronous cloud computing just feel sluggish.
And that latency issue is precisely what the new low Earth orbit, or LEO, constellations are designed to solve.
Exactly. New constellations like Telesat Lightspeed are flying much closer to Earth, often less than 1,000 miles up. This proximity drastically cuts down latency, often bringing it under 50 milliseconds. This shift is a genuine game changer for anything requiring a rapid, low-lag response.
But there's a trade-off.
Of course. LEO satellites move constantly, requiring really complex antenna technology to track them and seamlessly hand off the connection between satellites every few minutes.
Then you throw in the regional but essential air-to-ground systems, the ATG networks. These are primarily used in North America, and they leverage ground-based cellular towers beaming the signal directly up to the aircraft.
Right, and ATG offers high-speed service over land masses, often with excellent latency, and without the need for a massive, heavy satellite antenna array dome. So an aircraft operator today isn't just choosing Ku or Ka. They are designing an integrated strategy involving Ku, Ka, GEO, LEO, and ATG. A technical matrix that sounds like an absolute nightmare for a maintenance professional just trying to keep the fleet running.
You've hit on the crux of the operational challenge there. If every new technology requires a new skill set, new tools, and a whole new set of troubleshooting protocols, the overhead costs would just quickly erase the benefits of the high-speed connection.
You would certainly expect the training burden to be exponential. But here is the surprising insight that Karthik Bharathan from Viasat provided when discussing their multi-orbit terminals. And we've dubbed this the maintenance paradox. The technical complexity is being absorbed almost entirely by the system design and software, not transferred to the line maintenance crews.
Let's pull that thread. That's a huge claim. Huh. If an airline upgrades a traditional GEO-based terminal to one that integrates LEO capacity, what specifically does Bharathan mean by saying maintenance procedures remain essentially the same?
He is highlighting standardization at the physical and procedural levels. Maintenance personnel don't require specialized LEO certification or new proprietary tools just because the orbital configuration changed. The line replaceable units, the LRUs, the antenna, modem, power supply, they're typically designed with standardized interfaces, mounting points, and common troubleshooting trees.
So if the antenna needs to be removed, it doesn't matter if it's talking to a GEO satellite or a LEO satellite.
Not at all. The physical removal and replacement procedure remains identical.
That is genuinely massive for controlling operational costs. Think about a global airline with maintenance hubs scattered across dozens of countries. If they had to train and certify every single technician globally on the nuances of maintaining a dynamic LEO tracker versus a stable GEO antenna, the training costs would skyrocket.
Oh, they'd be astronomical. And the availability of specialized staff would become a major limiting factor for how fast they could even deploy the new tech.
Precisely.
It means the providers, like Viasat, have done the heavy lifting by standardizing the physical hardware interfaces and the software diagnostic protocols. The sophisticated routing logic, deciding which satellite to use, is handled autonomously by the intelligent network software. The maintenance staff simply sees a standardized unit that either works or doesn't work, and they rely on established fault isolation procedures.
So the investment is protected not by the simplicity of the technology itself, but by the intelligence and standardization of the interface between that technology and the maintenance crew.
Yes. If Viasat's new connectivity terminal can work across satellites in both GEO and LEO orbits without requiring a new specialized training regimen, it drastically reduces the implementation risk for the operator. And that translates directly into lower operating expenses.
However, even if the maintenance procedures are standardized, the systems themselves, the connectivity hardware, can be massive. This brings us squarely back to the core operational tension that operators face, the physics of carrying this equipment into the sky.
That's the cold reality of aviation. Connectivity systems introduce weight and drag. We're talking about antenna assemblies, potentially large radomes housing those antennas, and various boxes of electronics, modems, routers, power supplies located inside the fuselage. Every single pound, every single point of aerodynamic inefficiency translates directly into higher fuel consumption and increased operating costs.
Can we quantify that tension? For a large commercial airliner, what does a seemingly small increase in weight or drag actually cost over a year?
It's surprisingly punitive. I mean, while figures vary by route and aircraft type, a conservative industry estimate suggests that for a typical long-haul commercial aircraft, every additional 100 pounds of weight can add tens of thousands of dollars to the annual operating cost.
Just in fuel?
Just in fuel. And when you install a full satellite connectivity suite, you can easily add hundreds of pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Operators are locked in this continuous, complex calculation. Is the revenue gained from faster connectivity, or just the competitive necessity of it, worth the literal financial cost of leasing that hardware and the drag penalty of the radome for every single flight?
And the second major concern is the blistering pace of technological advancement. The half-life of innovation in connectivity is getting shorter and shorter.
Right. The concern about obsolescence dictates investment strategies.
Mm-hmm.
If an operator commits tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars to install a cutting-edge Ka-band GEO terminal today, how soon will a next-generation EO-only or combined multi-orbit terminal make that system technologically obsolete? If the hardware needs frequent, major replacement, not just software updates, it wreaks havoc on the long-term capital expenditure plan.
And crucially, each major hardware replacement necessitates the aircraft being grounded. Downtime is the ultimate enemy in the airline business.
It absolutely is. Every day an aircraft sits idle in the hangar for a system upgrade is a day of lost revenue, potentially running into hundreds of thousands of dollars. The industry must move away from solutions that require wholesale hardware replacement every few years and transition toward systems that are genuinely future-proofed against technological churn.
And here's where it gets really interesting. How are Viasat and Gogo tackling this inherent complexity and the threat of obsolescence to provide a viable long-term solution that respects the operational realities of maintenance and fuel burn? Let's start with Viasat's approach and their vertically integrated multi-orbit strategy, championed by Karthik Barathon.
Viasat's core strategy is built around blending the absolute best capabilities of two entirely different orbital layers, GEO and LEO, into a single, unified, and resilient architecture. They own and operate their GEO constellations, which gives them immense control over capacity, latency, and performance standards. They are taking this high-capacity base, including their advanced Viasat 3 satellites, and integrating flexible LEO capacity right on top of it.
The ultimate hybrid system. I want to dive deep into what that combination achieves that a single-layer system cannot. What's the benefit for the passenger and, critically, for the operator?
The benefit is twofold: redundancy and tailored performance. The GEO satellites provide the immense bulk capacity required for thousands of simultaneous users streaming content. That's the high-volume highway. The LEO satellites, the flexible low-latency component, provide the low-lag responsiveness needed for real-time, jitter-sensitive applications like secure corporate VPN access, high-definition video conferencing, or even the interactive gaming that passengers are starting to demand.
So the system has to be intelligent enough to know which type of data traffic needs which orbital layer.
Precisely. Barathon notes that their JetXP service is designed to intelligently route data in real-time. It analyzes the specific application request. Is it a simple download or a two-way latency-critical transaction?
Yeah.
And it optimizes the path dynamically. This ensures consistency and a high quality of experience, even during peak usage periods.
I can see the performance advantage. If I'm a corporate executive on board trying to use a real-time cloud collaboration tool for a multi-gigabyte file transfer,
right,
the system might automatically prioritize LEO capacity for that transaction to minimize lag, ensuring productivity. Whereas if I'm just doom-scrolling social media, it leans on the high-capacity, low-cost GEO network.
Exactly. They are tailoring the network performance not just to the device, but to the application's actual demands, ensuring a high quality of service across multiple simultaneous users and activities. And for the commercial market, Viasat aims for commercial simplification by offering these multi-orbit capabilities as a single, consolidated offering on select JetXP plans. This eliminates the nightmare of operators having to manage multiple contracts or subscriptions for different orbital layers.
Simplifying the commercial agreement is a clear business win, but achieving true multi-orbit real-time routing is an immense technical challenge that requires entirely new hardware. You can't just tell an old parabolic GEO antenna to suddenly track rapidly moving LEO satellites.
You absolutely cannot. And this is where Viasat's hardware strategy kicks in. To achieve multi-orbit capability, Viasat requires an additional flat panel electronically steered antenna, or ESA, which is designed to seamlessly integrate with JetXP's existing Kale antennas. This integration is paramount because they are focused on simplifying the physical architecture by reducing the total number of line replaceable units, the LRUs.
Fewer LRUs means simpler installations, a smaller spares inventory for the operator, and crucially, less time spent troubleshooting during maintenance checks. It's a direct attack on complexity.
And Viasat is also developing a proprietary piece of hardware specifically to enable this multi-orbit future. The Viasat Era Terminal. This is truly the cutting edge of connectivity hardware design.
Okay, let's dedicate some time to the Viasat Era. What makes this terminal technically significant beyond just being another ESA?
The Viasat Era Terminal features an advanced ESA designed to unlock something that is genuinely groundbreaking in the sector: simultaneous dual beam connections. Think about the complexity of managing multiple satellite resources. Most antennas have to break a connection with one satellite before making a connection with the next, or they are forced to switch resources rapidly.
So a traditional antenna can only talk to one satellite at a time, creating potential micro interruptions during handoffs.
Precisely. The Era ESA is designed to dynamically adapt and leverage two transmission resources at the exact same time, be it two GEOs, a GEO and a LEO, or even a GEO and a HEO, a highly elliptical orbit satellite. This dual beam capability allows for capacity aggregation, where two channels are bonded together for higher throughput, or, more importantly, it provides instant true redundancy.
Ah, so if one beam degrades due to weather or satellite blocking, the second beam is instantly ready without interrupting a high-latency-sensitive application.
You got it. That functionality must be vital for military or governmental clients who require ultra-high reliability, or for financial executives who are executing real-time trades and cannot tolerate even a millisecond of failure. This moves connectivity from a consumer luxury to mission-critical infrastructure.
It absolutely does.
This dynamic adaptation allows them to leverage every available resource on their global network, providing the most optimized and reliable experience possible for every application. But optimized performance is useless if you can't measure it reliably. And that's why Viasat is also pushing a forward-looking metric called the in-flight quality of experience, or IQE concept.
This sounds like a way to move beyond the misleading nature of legacy metrics. What exactly is IQE trying to measure that standard throughput metrics miss?
Well, legacy metrics focus almost exclusively on peak theoretical throughput, the fastest speed achieved under ideal laboratory conditions, you know, at 3 a.m. with no other users on the network.
The marketing number.
But operators and executives, they care about reliability and consistency during peak usage. The IQE concept is Viasat's attempt to quantify that consistency. It uses artificial intelligence and advanced analytics to continuously monitor a wide range of network parameters in real time.
So the AI isn't just looking at bandwidth. It's monitoring the stability factors like latency variability, jitter, and packet loss, which are the real killers of a video conference call.
Correct. The system processes all that complex, highly technical data and translates it into a single digestible quality of experience score, a QoE score. This score, which they expect to be available next year, reflects the overall real-world connectivity experience for passengers, flight operations, and crew.
I see the immediate benefit for a flight operations manager. If their aircraft consistently flies routes where the IQE score drops below a certain threshold, say 80 out of 100, they know they need to adjust expectations or potentially divert high-bandwidth operational tasks to another communications channel. This transparency must give the operator massive leverage when negotiating service-level agreements.
It fundamentally changes the contract negotiation from, did you hit the advertised peak speed, to did you reliably maintain an exceptional quality of service score? It moves the industry standard away from advertising fluff and toward reliable, measurable performance, which is what the customer is actually paying for.
That is valuable transparency. Now, while JetXP focuses on the premium business aviation market, Viasat has a parallel push for commercial airlines with Viasat Amara. Given the immense scale of commercial aviation, thousands of users on denser routes, does the Amara solution follow the same multi-orbit simplification philosophy?
It does, but scaled for the sheer volume and bandwidth needs of global commercial aviation. Viasat Amara is designed for extremely high scalability, powered by the core innovations in satellite network design and hardware advancements we just discussed. Its roadmap ensures compatibility with GEO, HEO, and LEO satellites. They've already announced compatibility with the Ka-band LEO capacity from Telesat Lightspeed. The goal is truly ubiquitous global coverage that adapts rapidly to the massive evolving connectivity demands of commercial airlines.
Let's return to the practicality piece, though. The commercial aviation market is intensely cost-sensitive and highly resistant to downtime. How is Varathan simplifying the physical installation and maintenance footprint for Amara?
He highlights a key simplification. Viasat is integrating modems directly into the antenna structure itself. This is critical. Historically, the connectivity system required an antenna mounted outside, a dedicated modem unit mounted inside the cabin, a separate power supply, and maybe a dedicated router, all linked by complex wiring harnesses.
So you have four separate line replaceable units that require four separate installation steps, four sets of spares, and four potential points of failure.
Exactly. By integrating the modem directly into the antenna structure, Viasat immediately reduces the number of separate LRUs required. This significantly simplifies new installations, cuts down inventory management, and speeds up troubleshooting. It makes the system physically and procedurally much simpler for the MROs.
That is clever, but if you put the modem in the antenna radome, doesn't that inherently make the entire unit heavier and hotter? That complicates aerodynamic constraints and heat management, particularly in extreme operational environments.
That is a necessary engineering trade-off that Viasat had to solve. The weight of combining components has to be offset by advancements in materials and the miniaturization of the electronics. But the benefit of simplicity and reduced wiring complexity usually outweighs the marginal weight increase. However, the most crucial strategy for protecting the owner's multi-million dollar investment is future-proofing via software flexibility.
Tell me more about that software component.
Farthen confirms that Viasat's antenna systems are designed with the long view. They are engineered to work with current and future networks and constellations via simple over-the-air software updates. This design mandate minimizes the need for high-cost, time-consuming hardware replacement. The initial substantial capital investment is protected by a flexible, updatable software layer that adapts to new satellite architectures without requiring the aircraft to be grounded for physical replacement.
That is a very comprehensive strategy. Vertical integration, massive capacity, redundancy via dual-beam tech, new quality measurement metrics like IQ, and a concerted effort to minimize hardware churn. Now let's pivot and look at Gogo. Chris Moore, the CEO, has a distinct approach, specifically targeting private and military sectors and leveraging a multi-partner model.
That's right. Gogo is laser-focused on the high-end private jet and military government sectors. There, the demand isn't just for fast speeds, but for a truly personalized, reliable, ground-like connectivity experience, often globally. And unlike Viasat, which relies heavily on its massive in-house constellation, Gogo takes a strategic, multi-partner approach to orbital capacity. They focus on being the integrator of choice.
So Gogo essentially acts as a sophisticated system architect, pulling the best from various global providers rather than building their own global infrastructure. Is there an inherent supply chain or integration risk in relying on multiple massive partners for your core service?
That's a critical challenge, and it's the major strategic difference between the two companies. Moore's defense of this model is centered on flexibility in catering to diverse mission profiles. They aren't tied to one satellite architecture.
So, if a private jet owner primarily flies transatlantic routes, Gogo can tailor a solution using the optimal combination of partners for that specific geography and flight profile without forcing them onto a single, vertically integrated network.
Exactly. Gogo leverages the Eutelsat OneWeb LEO constellation to support their HDX electronically steered antenna. They use SES to power their plain simple Ku-band terminal, specifically tapping into the SES FlexExec service. And, significantly, they utilize the Viasat constellation, the JX network, to connect to their plain simple Ka-band system for high-speed GEO capacity. This comprehensive multi-partner portfolio allows them to combine GEO with LEO, LEO with ATG, or any mix required to meet the high reliability demands of private and military operations.
That flexibility is crucial for business aviation, where a single operator might own anything from a very light jet operating regionally to a large cabin global flyer. But Gogo's unique strength, especially across North America, has always been the regional air-to-ground, the ATG network.
That's their regional competitive moat. Gogo operates an extensive, dedicated network of cellular towers across the continental U.S. and parts of Canada, providing reliable service over landmasses. The performance of their legacy ATG network has long served the business jet market adequately, but that is about to change dramatically with their next-generation upgrade.
Tell me about the 5G ATG rollout. That promises a huge performance jump for that segment. What are the specifics?
The real headline is the activation of their new 5G technology, which is slated for 2026. This is not a marginal update. It is a fundamental shift in capacity. Their legacy ATG network often delivered speeds in the single-digit megabits per second, maybe up to 25 middle P's under ideal conditions. The 5G upgrade, using advanced cellular technologies, promises to deliver consistent broadband speeds well over 100 Mbps to the aircraft cabin.
That performance level entirely closes the gap between traditional ATG and satellite connectivity for domestic routes, and it does so with installation simplicity.
That's the brilliance of the ATG system, particularly for smaller aircraft. Operators install small, relatively low-drag MB-13 antennas on the underside of the aircraft, and crucially, no massive radome on the tail is required. They combine this with the Avance LX5 platform inside the cabin. The installation footprint is minimal, drastically cutting down on downtime compared to the major structural modifications needed for large satellite systems.
That simple physical installation advantage is a key differentiator for operators sensitive to both downtime and aerodynamic penalties. Now let's look at their hardware philosophy across their Plain Simple and Gogo Galileo lines.
Moore stresses that Gogo terminals are truly purpose-built, designed from the ground up specifically for the business and military markets, prioritizing simplicity and maintenance ease above raw, multi-orbit capacity aggregation.
Let's focus on the Plain Simple design concept. What does that mean in practice?
The design mandate here is physical simplification. These are compact, tail-mounted terminals that, crucially, comprise just two inline replaceable units, the tail-mounted antenna itself and the cabin router. They are connected via standardized common wiring. By minimizing the component count, they drastically reduce the complexity required for installation and the subsequent maintenance checks.
Only 2 LRUs. Compared to systems that might require 4 or 5 units, that immediately addresses inventory concerns and streamlines troubleshooting for the maintenance crew. That must significantly improve installation predictability.
It does. And Gogo carries this simplification philosophy over to their advanced antennas, the Gogo Galileo antennas, specifically the HDX and FDX versions. These utilize electronic phased array technology. This technical choice is a fundamental game changer because it eliminates the need for any complex internal moving parts within the antenna structure.
Why is eliminating moving parts so paramount in the aviation environment? I mean, it subjects equipment to extreme vibrations, temperature fluctuations, and G-forces.
Well, moving parts are the primary points of failure and wear. They require maintenance, lubrication, adjustment over time. By utilizing electronic steering, directing the beam purely through dynamic phase shifts in the electronic signal, Gogo achieves several practical benefits.
Okay.
First, reliability increases exponentially because there is nothing physical to wear out. Second, it enables a much smaller, sleeker form factor. And third, it reduces the system's overall power requirements and generates significantly less waste heat, which further enhances system longevity and reliability in a challenging operational environment. It's a design philosophy centered entirely on robustness and maintenance predictability.
That leads us perfectly into the operational realities section, where we synthesize these 2 distinct technical strategies, Viasat's vertically integrated performance and Gogo's partner-led predictability, with the practical concerns that operators deal with every single day. Installation complexity, support, and protecting that massive investment.
We must first acknowledge that installation, even with simplified hardware, still represents a significant capital expenditure. It involves careful planning, removing old systems, installing new equipment, and critical structural modifications to the aircraft fuselage and potentially the tail structure.
And the single biggest physical hurdle, as Karthik Varathan from Viasat noted, remains the radome.
That's the choke point. The installation of the large antenna radome creates the most significant structural modification because it directly affects the aircraft's aerodynamics. And it requires a detailed engineering analysis and often a new supplemental type certificate, or STC, for regulatory approval. Varathan confirms that Viasat designs its high-capacity systems specifically to minimize the additional weight and drag caused by these radomes.
Which means they are constantly optimizing the radome shape and material to balance capacity with aerodynamics, directly addressing the fuel burn penalty.
Absolutely. It is a critical design constraint that must be managed closely. Conversely, Chris Moore at Gogo emphasizes minimizing operational impact by focusing heavily on the small form factor of their plain simple line.
That smaller form factor has clear benefits, particularly for smaller business jets where space and weight are at an even higher premium.
And Moore emphasizes that their focused effort on creating smaller form factors allows aircraft, from the very light jets right up to the heavy intercontinental jets, to maximize high-speed broadband connectivity worldwide while simultaneously minimizing that operational impact. The smaller the antenna and radome, the less drag and the less structural reinforcement is needed for installation, meaning minimal intrusion into the aircraft's performance envelope.
Now let's talk dollars and cents. Aviation technology moves incredibly fast, and obsolescence is a very expensive problem. How do these companies protect the massive financial commitment an owner makes when installing these cutting-edge systems?
Gogo's strategy for investment protection, as detailed by Chris Moore, is founded on hardware design predictability. This is their counter move against rapid technological acceleration. Moore explicitly states that the vast majority of future system upgrades needed to optimize their solutions. For example, updating to interface with a new generation of LEO satellites or integrating new security protocols are made almost entirely in the modem units.
Ah, so the expensive structural component, the bulky tail-mounted antenna, stays in place, minimizing aircraft downtime.
Correct. The operator simply swaps out a relatively inexpensive modem unit located inside the cabin rather than dismantling the entire external antenna system. This avoids costly structural modifications, minimizes aircraft grounding time, and sidesteps potentially disruptive cabin interior upgrades. This commitment ensures predictable maintenance costs and budgeting, which is essential for protecting the owner's investment against the rapid advancement of connectivity technology. It is a smart, financially conservative approach.
Viasat tackles investment protection through a different but equally crucial lens, focusing on quantified, guaranteed performance, which they deliver through robust service level agreements, or SLAs, linked back to their IQ concept.
Viasat, operating on a massive global scale, serving over 60 airlines, doesn't just promise the highest speed, they guarantee a level of quality. Their SLAs include quantified performance benchmarks far beyond simple bandwidth. This includes metrics like network availability and, increasingly, individual passenger performance metrics like latency consistency.
So this commitment transforms the purchase from merely buying hardware into contracting for a high-performance contractually obligated service.
Exactly. It's an assurance of reliability, consistency, and quality, which is vital for the airline's brand and protects their investment by ensuring the system performs to an exceptional standard throughout its lifecycle. It mitigates the risk of performance obsolescence. Viasat is essentially betting on the reliability of their vertically integrated network to secure long-term client commitments.
The technical design and the commercial contracts are key, but the successful execution of these installations is dependent on the maintenance, repair, and overhaul facilities, the MROs. How critical is dedicated MRO support to the success of these complex, often globally deployed connectivity rollouts?
It is absolutely critical, and Gogo's CEO, Chris Moore, details their intense focus on this. Even with a 2LRU plain simple system, complexity is still involved, especially surrounding the Supplemental Type Certificate, or STC, approval process, and the interface with the aircraft's existing systems.
They need to translate their complex technology into simple, predictable installation steps for MROs globally.
Precisely. Gogo provides guaranteed 24/7/365 international support for connectivity customers and MRO partners. If an MRO is developing an STC, which is required to approve the installation of new non-OEM equipment, Gogo proactively provides feedback based on the experiences of other MRO network members to streamline the regulatory process.
I find their logistical commitment to MROs quite striking.
It speaks volumes about their commitment to predictability. Moore mentions their specific three-ring policy, designed to ensure that MROs receive immediate technical guidance. The MRO calls in with a question about an installation hang-up, and Gogo guarantees that a technical specialist will answer the phone within three rings.
That's impressive.
It is. The simple commitment prevents MROs from being forced to wait hours or days for critical technical guidance, thereby keeping the installation timeline tight and protecting aircraft availability.
That laser focus on MRO support reflects Moore's broader insight about technology translation.
Yes. His insight is that aircraft owners and operators are fundamentally not interested in the technical nuances, coup versus Ka, or the intricacies of LEO tracking. They are interested in making a consistent and reliable Teams call, or ensuring their flight data uploads without failure. Providers must translate complex technology into practical, quantifiable applications and rock-solid reliability guarantees. The MRO network is the essential boots-on-the-ground bridge between the provider's technical capability and the practical application for the end user.
So what does this all mean? We've analyzed two major powerhouses, Viasat and Gogo, and seen two slightly different yet equally practical paths to dominating the future of in-flight connectivity, each tailored for a specific market segment.
The main synthesis point here is the maturity of this industry. It has definitively evolved from offering a simple Wi-Fi amenity to providing an integrated operational ecosystem. Both providers recognize that high speed is no longer sufficient. The focus must be on operational practicality. The adoption of simplified hardware design, fewer LRUs, integrated modems, software-based upgrade paths, directly addresses the industry's biggest pain points: system complexity, high CapEx risk, and aircraft downtime.
And the two innovation paths we identified are strategically distinct. Viasat is pushing the boundaries of true multi-orbit dual-beam connectivity with advanced quality measurement via IQ, focusing on achieving ultra-high guaranteed capacity and system-level intelligence across global commercial fleets. They own the vertical integration game.
While Gogo focuses heavily on purpose-built, small form factor, modem upgradable systems, they successfully leverage the robust reliability of 5G ATG in North America and employ strong MRO partnerships to ensure flawless installation predictability, particularly for the high-value private market. Both strategies prioritize long-term investment protection, either through guaranteed service quality from Viasat or predictable maintenance costs from Gogo.
It's clear that the future connectivity solution won't rely on choosing one orbit or one band. It's about fluidly blending them all. The integration of LEO constellations, combined with the promise of high-speed 5G ATG, guarantees truly global, high-bandwidth, and low-latency broadband for virtually every aircraft type, regardless of size or mission profile.
Absolutely. The technical hurdles for getting the signal to the plane are rapidly being solved. But the subsequent challenge we just explored, minimizing the installation and maintenance complexity, is not going away. It will only intensify as these connectivity systems become even more deeply interconnected with the fundamental flight operations and safety systems.
So, here is the final provocative thought for you to chew on. As aircraft rapidly transform into high-speed multi-gigabit data nodes, the connectivity itself becomes commoditized and standardized. The real competitive value then shifts away from the sheer speed of the pipe and toward the digital products and services layered on top of that infrastructure. For you, the learner, the key question is, what new digital products or services, be they predictive maintenance based on real-time engine telemetry, optimized AI-driven logistics, or highly personalized passenger experiences, will become mandatory for aviation operators next year, shifting the connectivity conversation yet again?
The robust, reliable infrastructure is being built today. The race now is for the applications to fully exploit it.
That's it for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.